It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
If you have been following the news cycle, I think by now the Steelers are going to trade for every wide receiver in the NFL.
Every single one.
Mm-hmm. They're all going to be Steelers by Friday, so just beware of that. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. A good Tuesday afternoon, April 30th, 2024 to you all. He's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Christen, and this is the Southside Beat. Good to be back after it's been like 6 days since I've been on this show because I've been running around Timbuktu doing just about everything.
Pirates coverage, draft coverage. It's been a bunch of everything, but good to have you back.
Yeah.
Good to be here for a Tuesday show. So it's funny because it's almost predictable that the rumors start to really ramp up whenever, like right when you kind of expect them to, you know, right ahead of free agency. There were a lot of rumors about every single quarterback in all of any single quarterback that was available. If it was a free agent quarterback, the Steelers were interested. If it was a quarterback that was even remotely on the trade market, the Steelers were making calls. And, you know, yes, they ended up making a trade, and yes, they ended up signing one. We knew they were going to add to the quarterback room, but still, the wide set of, oh, I know the Steelers are going to be going after this guy. And then, you know, right before the draft, there's nothing for really anybody to talk about. So people just, the rumors start up again. Then the draft happens, everything quiets down because nobody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about the draft. And now, draft's over, and here they are again. Steelers need a receiver. And here come all the rumors again. And it's just funny that Omar even talked today in a media appearance on Pat McAfee show and just really was a buzzkill for everybody.
Or was he? Look, Omar Khan, for those that missed it, was a guest on Pat McAfee show, as Chris mentioned. And he was asked about the idea of trading for a wide receiver. And his direct quote said, quote, "There's nothing going on right now. I'm not exactly sure what the verbiage was or what was reported, but nothing to report," end quote. Now, as Cody says, he holds his cards close to the vest, and he certainly does. He also said that the Steelers had the utmost faith in Kenny Pickett, and then Kenny Pickett was gone a month later. He also said they felt good about the depth at center, and then they drafted Zach Frazier in the second round. So, is he bluffing? Is he not?
Yeah.
Only time will tell. But that's the diplomatic protect the vest answer from Omar Khan in a media appearance that's going to tens of thousands, if not 100,000 or more viewers right there. And yeah, here Tenchi Fan says it. So we're definitely trading for a wide receiver. Like that, like, like I'm not saying don't trust Omar Khan. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like, he's going to be asked the question. He has to give an answer to the question. It's just that is his answer to the question when it was publicly asked.
Well, what everybody wants to hear him say, he's not going to say. And that's that everybody wants to hear him say, oh, yeah, we've talked to the 49ers. Oh, yeah, we've talked to the Broncos. Oh, yeah, we've talked to the Seahawks. We've talked to the Bears. We've talked to all those teams about their no, come on. Like, he's not going to say that. Like, why would he give away any leverage that he possibly has? No, he's not going to do that. And so, this is, you know, GMs aren't gonna say anything like that. He's gonna say either something like that, like he said today, or he's gonna say something like he said when directly asked, because, you know, as Ben alludes to here, you know, the cap space was cleared for something. You know, Omar was asked specifically about that, you know, after the draft, and he's like, well, and as it pertains to wide receivers, and he said, well, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, we'll address it, and, you know, any way we can make the team better, we're going to do it. It's the typical spiel that you hear. So this is what the GM does when he says things publicly, and it would be stupid of him, like literally stupid of him, to tip his hand on any kind of trade that might be in the works and might not be in the works. We don't know. And Corey and I were saying it just before it went on. Like, we just need this to happen already so that we don't have to talk about this every single day, because everybody got tired of us talking ad nauseum about quarterbacks on here, because the rumors are flying around every single day. So people are like, well, what's going on here? What to talk about this? And then all of a sudden we start talking about quarterbacks. Like, you guys are talking about it too much. It's like, all right, so we can't win.
Yeah.
So let's just get pull off the trade. Get it done.
Yeah.
And then so we can move on and start talking about the rest of the draft class that was an A+.
Today, before I found out that Omar Khan was speaking in public, I was going to talk about cornerbacks. I wanted to talk about cornerbacks, defensive backs.
Yeah.
Because I wrote a thing about the quote unquote avatars that the Steelers are now stockpiling. It was a blip. Now it's a trend when it comes to that position. I wrote about it, and I was going to publish it, you know, sometime tomorrow and then have a little discussion about it today. But no, this is what it turns to. And until it happens, the forefront's going to be about the wide receiver position. Now, they obviously drafted Roman Wilson in the third round. And when that pick came around, when 84 came around, and I looked at the board, I saw Roman Wilson was available. I started writing. Like, I knew it was going to happen. Not even based on any kind of inside, you know, tips or anything. It's not even that. It's that Mike Tomlin was so intensively scouting Roman Wilson. He spent a ton of resources and time into Roman Wilson that if it wasn't going to be Roman Wilson, I would have been stunned. Now, I would have made a case also. Hello, Chris's camera just.
It's because my light fell.
Chris's camera just flung.
The beauty of live YouTube.
Yeah, it just flung off of his monitor. That was wild. Roman Wilson was always going to be a Steeler. It was just a matter of how, it seemed like. And sure enough, Mike Tomlin made it happen at 84. That doesn't mean that the wide receivers room is shored up. In fact, it really isn't. They still need another outside threat, which they will go get. They'll find a way to do that, but it just hasn't happened quite yet. Now, the cornerback position, defensive back, is another one that's going to have to be, or at least so we think, addressed in some fashion. You know, the only other move that was made in the draft was Ryan Watts. And as it's mentioned here, the 6'1" cornerbacks, who had that comment that I all of a sudden missing now? My point is, here it is, Joshua Dobbs had it. The starting cornerback has to be 6'1" and long. Like, that's what they're doing right now. And yeah. Ryan Watts fits that mold. He's actually bigger than Corey Trice, if you could believe that, based on measurements. So they have found these diamonds in the rough at corner. When you add Darius Rush in there too, thinking he could play some. But at the same time, like Joey Porter Jr., then you have Dante Jackson, and then where's that depth fall off at? So you have to think they add another cornerback too. So this is far from the end of the offseason. And as it was brought up, the Alex Highsmith contract restructure, it really does free up a lot of money, and it enables the Steelers to go address one, if not both, of those positions.
Yeah, it's well, first off, now I think it's safe to say that, you know, now that we're, you know, now that the draft is behind us, I would say receiver is the biggest need right now, because obviously they address center. because the two biggest needs going into the draft were center and receiver. And yes, they took, you know, that they took a position at both of those positions, but you only need one center on the field at a time, and you need multiple receivers who can do multiple things. And getting Roman Wilson sure helped. No doubt about that. And yes, I'm very excited. I've begun doing my film study on Roman Wilson. I'll be having a Chalk Talk come out later this week about that film study. You'll get a closer look at everything that he does really well, some areas in his game that he needs to improve. But you know, either way, he's a good addition to the room. And shoot, I don't want to put a ceiling on him and say, oh, well, he's only limited to the slot, or he can't be a number one. Like, no, like, just because the guy isn't like the ideal body size or doesn't have the right speed or Antonio Brown, sixth round pick, turned into the best receiver in the league. You know, you can never put a ceiling on a guy who's got a lot of really good traits. And all of that being said, yes, there is still a hole there. They need another guy who, in case Roman Wilson doesn't just come right out of the gate as a, oh, holy crap, this dude's a number one receiver.
Yeah.
You have to be able to, hey, we need another guy who could start on the outside so that at the bare minimum, we're easing Roman Wilson into it. We're not saying, hey, rookie, by the way, we need you to catch 70 passes for us. Oh, hey, by the way, dude, we need you to rack up at least 1,000 yards for us. Like, I'm not saying he can't do it. He very well could, but relying on a rookie to do that, that's irresponsible and doesn't create the competition or the depth that you need if you are a serious contender, especially in the AFC.
Yeah, and Mike brings it up here. They signed Beanie Bishop out of West Virginia, undrafted free agent. Like, I don't know what kind of role Beanie Bishop would have, but I'm assuming it's going to be similar to what Corey Trice entered with last year, where kind of a flyer on a cornerback, and he's not going to be starting day one, but he's somebody that could either A, be a project, B, be depth, or C, just be another body in camp. Like, we truly don't know until we get in there. CJ, this is Juju return, yay or nay? That's a big nay.
No way. Not for me, at least. Personally, no, and I don't see it happening in terms of what the Steelers will actually do. I'll be shocked if that's the move that they make to add.
Thoughts on Michael Thomas, Ryan asks. I think they do need to get a veteran wide receiver, but I also think the caveat needs to be that veteran wide receiver needs to be able to play. Michael Thomas hasn't seen the field. I mean, he saw the field last year, but he hasn't seen the field for the bulk of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather take a flyer on a veteran target or go make a trade for somebody that's going to produce like a wide receiver two or even a wide receiver one if Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel truly are on the table out in San Francisco. I would rather just pony up the picks and get one of those guys than take flyers on Michael Thomas, and maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then by the time October rolls around, he doesn't have a foot. And they have to roll out George Pickens, Roman Wilson. They're back to where they were in April. Like, I just don't think that's a safe idea.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of I'm not a big fan of the Michael Thomas idea. Somebody brought up a few different names. The only two names I think that were interesting to me in the slightest of the free agents left were Michael Gallup and DJ Chark. Gallup is now off the board since mm-hmm. yesterday's show. He is apparently headed to Vegas. So DJ Chark's still there. Chark is, you know, it's not a sexy addition whatsoever, but it's definitely an upgrade over all of the other options the Steelers have now. I don't think it's as strong. Like, what is a stronger receiver room? Okay, I'll put it this way. What's a stronger trio atop the receiver depth chart? Last year's, which would be George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, and Allen Robinson, or George Pickens, DJ Chark, and Roman Wilson. What's the better trio?
Depends on if you think, it depends on if you think Roman Wilson and Deontay Johnson are comparable.
I think they're comparable, but for me to assume that Roman Wilson can come in and do what Deontay has already done for multiple seasons is unfair to Roman Wilson. I think that's very unfair because Deontay is elite at the NFL level at gaining separation, and Roman Wilson, that's one of his calling cards too, is gaining separation. So that's good, but he's good at gaining separation in college as opposed to Deontay Johnson, who's elite, one of the best in the league at doing it at the NFL level and has been for multiple seasons. There are other parts of Roman Wilson's game that I think are more valuable to the Steelers than compared to what Deontay did, specifically when it comes to being a willing blocker and even an accomplished blocker. I think Roman Wilson will be a very nice addition in that regard for sure. But to me, I don't know how I would feel about Pickens, Chark, and Wilson compared to what they had last year. To me, I think it's at best a wash. You didn't get any better there. Like, I would think Roman Wilson might be an upgrade over Allen Robinson, especially as a pass catcher, but I wouldn't say DJ Chark is a better option than Deontay Johnson.
I don't know what Calvin Austin can be in this offense with Cordarrelle Patterson there. That's another concern of mine.
Yeah.
Right now, their wide receiver three, so to speak, is Calvin Austin. Now, Cordarrelle Patterson is the gadget tool, so to speak, of this offense. Mm-hmm. You know, you could put him in the backfield, you could split him wide, you could put him in the slot, you could put him in several different spots, which is a good thing in some cases, but that stretches your wide receivers room just a little bit. You know, you look at Pickens and either Patterson or whether they go out and get another receiver on the outside, and then you bring Roman and Cordarrelle Patterson inside, you have to basically rotate between Cordarrelle Patterson and Calvin Austin. So I don't know what kind of ceiling he has in this offense. And with that being said, if they go out and get another wide receiver, they have to get another George Pickens. And I'm not saying get a player that's equivalent or better than, but what I'm saying is get somebody that stylistically makes sense to play on the outside and that doesn't fit. They're congested right now on the inside is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And especially when you add in Jalen Warren's pass catching ability and his ability to kind of get up the seam a little bit, and you add Pat Freiermuth, like, yeah, you don't want to overcompensate by throwing the ball to the middle all the time. So I think another outside threat that's clear on the outside has to be brought into the fold. And whether that's Sutton or Ayuk or Debo or even T. Higgins, those are all good fits for the outside.
I think I can safely say that if the Steelers were to add any of those guys, Debo, Ayuk, Sutton, Metcalf, Higgins, any of those guys, McLaurin, freaking what's his face from Chicago who was in Carolina, DJ Moore, like any of those guys, man, like if they were to add any of those guys to me, that's an obvious, like, yes, they got way better. Like that to me,
absolutely.
It's when you start getting it. Okay. But the reason why all those guys seem just first off there, when there are conflicting reports coming out, you know, there was a conflicting report almost immediately in the wake of Brian McFadden tweeting what he did yesterday. There was, several hours later, a Broncos reporter, pretty trustworthy one at that too, pretty much shot down Cortland Sutton. Like that's not happening.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, if it's not Cortland Sutton, and then by the way, John Lynch continues to say Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel aren't going anywhere, and the plan right now is for them to keep them. So like those options are running out. They all have to be looked at as maybe one, maybe in some sort of alternate universe that trade can happen. And if it happens, then great. Omar pulled another bunny out of the hat. Phenomenal. But I think you have to look at more realistic options in terms of how the Steelers address that. It might not be as sexy of an addition as those things are. Maybe it is. You know, maybe Omar does just go pull, just wow us all with another move. But I think you have to look at more realistic options in terms of addressing that as of right now. And so I think DJ Chark's one because he's, you know, right there, you know, right for the plucking. You can look at Zay Jones, who the Jaguars just released.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you get past those guys, to me, it gets very iffy. You know, when you talk about Odell Beckham Jr. or anybody like that.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Now, it was brought up here by Cody. The 49ers drafted two wide receivers, and he thinks they are trading one of those guys 100%. Of course, they draft Ricky Pearsall with the 31st overall pick.
That's all conjecture, though.
It is conjecture. I wanted to bring that up. And then they draft Jacob Cowing, 135th out of Arizona. So, yeah, they did draft two wide receivers. That doesn't mean they're for sure going to trade Ayuk or Debo. That's just partially covering the bases. Number two, for where those players were drafted, pretty decent value. I'm a little surprised Pearsall went that high, but at the same time, he's a really good player, and that's the scouting they had on him.
But think about it this way from the Niners perspective too. You know, for the same reason that I say that the Mason McCormick pick was a good pick for the Steelers in the fourth round, because no guard is not an immediate need right now, but it will be in a year, because either they're going to have to re-sign James Daniels and or Nate Herbig, or they're going to have to supplant them with somebody else. And drafting Mason McCormick gives you an option. It gives you a guy that you can bring in right now, learn the system, learn and be able to watch the game from the sideline and participate in practice and learn the game at the NFL level for a year after playing at an FCS school, and then possibly step in as a starter in year two. That's so adding a guy like Pearsall. Now, I don't think Pearsall is that type of a guy who could just learn behind. But listen, Ayuk, if they don't get it worked out with an extension with him, he's going to the last year of his deal. He'll become a free agent next offseason.
Yeah.
The Niners have to protect themselves. And so just because they drafted a receiver right now doesn't mean, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to trade either Debo or they're definitely going to trade Ayuk. They're just protecting themselves for down the road.
Yeah,
that's what teams do. They go into the draft not just thinking about that upcoming year, but also how that draft pick can help them in future years too.
It's a red shirt year for Mason McCormick, and he's a guy that could play inside at all three positions. He's more suited as a left guard, and you got to keep in mind down the road, Sam Alo, like how many more years does he have left in him? He had basically the veteran contract, or he has the veteran contract with the Steelers, like the deal basically where he sits out once a week at practice, like as a mandatory thing within his contract. I think he's only 30, so he's got a few years left in him. It's just given the contracts with Herbig and Daniels, what do you do with guard? This is a redshirt year for McCormick, and it'll be able to slide in, you would think, in year two. Ben asked, does the $20 million in cap space get you a first-class receiver? I know prices have gone up.
You'd have to make another move.
So there are 15, there are 21 wide receivers that are set to make at least $15 million this season, 21 of them. So think of it this way. If you're the Steelers, and it doesn't matter really to me what the value of George Pickens is for them. What I'm saying is if they're willing to pay up to get one of those top wide receivers, they're going to have to pay up to do it. And it's going to have to be, you know, you're not going to pay someone $15 million. That puts them at wide receiver 22 in terms of AAV. That's not going to happen. So they're going to have to free up a little more money if they want to go swing for the fences and go get one of those big names and then pay them.
Yeah, it's... Hold on, I was reading some of the comments and I didn't want to because I'm even seeing people ask, like, you
interrupt, like, this is why we had the discussion before the draft about potentially drafted receiver at 20, because money and all of this stuff in the wide receiver market going up was going to come into play at some point. Sorry, continue.
No, I was going to say, like, we have people asking, you know, like, well, what about Lockett? You know, what about this guy? What about, like, the one thing that I want to say, and I'm going to say the same thing that I did where I dedicated almost an entire episode to the Brandon Ayuk rumors before the draft, is you could spend a lot of time and energy refreshing your Twitter feed to see what the heck is happening, or if I'm not trying to tell people how to live their lives or anything like that, you could, you know, go have a life because these trade rumors might not like amount to anything.
Yeah.
The Steelers might end up just signing Zay Jones or signing DJ Chark or signing Odell Beckham Jr. or whoever else. And it's just, you know, okay, better than anything else that they have for that spot right now, but not really anything that's going to get me too excited. The one thing that I would say, like, if Omar Khan is truly shopping the trade market for receivers, and I do think that there's some truth to that, just because, again, a smart GM is going to explore all avenues all the time. They're going to talk with other GMs. If he's really exploring the trade market, I would expect him to go about it the same way that he went about the Justin Fields trade. There's going to be a lot of patience involved, which might mean that we might not see anything come to fruition on this for weeks.
Yeah.
We just might not. And mm-hmm. that's just something like seriously, like you can try, you could drive yourself crazy by trying to read into all these rumors, especially because you get onto Twitter, you got this one blogger kid saying, though, I've got sources saying this. And you got this other blogger kid saying, nope, I've got sources saying that. And I don't know, man. Just be really, really wary of any of these rumors that come flying out, man.
You can't get too excited about anything these days. It's hard to. If you're a fan of something, there's always going to be someone out there that has an opinion or a thought or something or another about, you know, who to do, what to do, all that stuff. And
yeah,
you know, it's hard sometimes to sift rumor from fact and what's going on versus what people want to happen. So just got to be aware of that. Stephen A says, do you believe they are going to bring in Cam? This is about Cam Sutton. There seems to be some smoke there. For those that missed it, there's a report that came out over the weekend that Cam Sutton visited the South Side, had a meeting with Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin mm-hmm. last week. I think it's possible. Now, if you read into Cam Sutton's situation, really gross situation, quite frankly, mm-hmm. Was wanted for domestic assault, was on the run for, I believe it was almost 2 weeks. Like, really, yeah. Really just, you know, you can't do that. And he turned himself in eventually, and I believe his one hearing was scheduled for yesterday. I should probably have looked into that. But point is it's not currently ruled out that Cam Sutton could make a return. Now, yeah. do I believe they're going to bring in Cam Sutton? I think it's possible. I think the process has to vet out. Obviously, the NFL is going to discipline him in some way. Probably. It's just a matter of yeah. how long. They're likely going to discipline him. So we shall see on Cam Sutton. But yeah, there's certainly smoke around it. I would say that.
I think the Steelers, honestly, if Cam Sutton is going to play football in 2024, the Steelers make the most amount of sense, just because it's a place in which obviously he's already had an established relationship, not just with the organization, but specifically with Mike Tomlin. And not saying that Mike Tomlin's like playing favorites or anything like that, but you know, you can tell the reverence that certain players have for Tomlin. I think Sutton has that. And so, it makes the most amount of sense, especially when you're talking about, you know, having maybe the best support group off the field. So maybe that's it, but I think even the Steelers have to be, they really have to go into that situation very, very carefully, because anytime you're, you know, entertaining the idea of bringing in a player that's gotten into some significant off the field, significant off the field, you know, especially when it comes to legal trouble, you have to tread lightly. And so I don't know if it ends up happening. I'm definitely not saying it's a 0% chance. I do think that there is a certain percentage that, yeah, we could see Cam Sutton go back to Pittsburgh. I do think it'd be for a very cheap deal, maybe like a vet minimum or something like that.
Yeah.
Especially because I don't even know if he would, because of what he did, if he even would even get his guaranteed money from Detroit. That's something I'd have to look into. So I don't know. It's, I don't want to say it's an interesting situation, because it's really not that interesting. It's just, you know, what happens if the Steelers do bring him in, you know, just yeah. it's, and well, so here, okay. This is almost why I don't want to talk about legal stuff on here, because somebody's bringing up Michael Vick, and when the Steelers brought him in, Michael Vick had already long paid his time for the crime.
Yeah.
I mean, he had already returned to the NFL, played in the NFL, had success in returning to the NFL. It's not like, yeah, let's just try to avoid the Cam Sutton stuff for right now, because we don't even know if he's going to be a Steeler. If he is, then we'll address it at that point. But shoot, man, we start bringing up then, you know, people start bringing up, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and his issues. And
yeah goes from past that we don't want to unearth. We'll just keep it that way. You know, this wide receiver market is going to be busy until it's not, one way or another. It's going to be busy until it's not. So it's something to monitor. It's something that we're obviously checking in on. And it's something that I think has been kind of forthcoming since the day they signed, or they traded rather, Deontay Johnson. I know they drafted Roman Wilson, but again, you have to think that they find another clear outside threat. Yeah. Kind of back to my point earlier, there's a reason why we were talking about potential wide receivers for day one. And that's why the Steelers were scouting potential wide receivers mm-hmm. for day one. It's because they need to get another outside threat. So we shall see, I guess, in the coming days, weeks, what happens. Rookie minicamp is 1 week from this weekend. So mm-hmm.
DJ Chark is a really interesting guy, because this is a guy who back in 2019, man, like he caught 73 passes for 1,008 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like he was real. And plus he like didn't drop almost any passes that year. Like this is a guy who really, really performed at a pretty high level at one point. Kind of like a diet version of Cortland Sutton, you know, not quite as accomplished, but you know, had his one really good season, you know, several years. It might've been that same season that Sutton had his like Pro Bowl season.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a little while ago. Chark's an interesting guy. The more and more I kind of dig into the numbers on him, maybe if the Steelers were to bring him in, that'd be a little interesting.
It's going to be interesting regardless of how they approach this receivers room. And following up on Omar Khan's comments from today, you know, whenever or if they acquire wide receiver, we'll look back to today and say, okay, Omar, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you say. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Good 30 minutes today. Good discussion today. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow on a Wednesday. We turn the calendar to May. Wow, we're flying. Just when we thought the NFL draft would never get here it comes and goes.
And listen, like the actual football activity is beginning pretty quickly, a week from Friday.
Saturday.
Friday, actually. So a week from Friday is the beginning of it's only for the weekend, but the rookie minicamp. So all the new faces, all the new Steelers, they'll be coming in. And we'll have availability on two of those days. The media does on two of those days. So we'll obviously be on the scene. I won't be, but you know, our DK Pittsburgh Sports will be on the scene. Most likely be Corey. I think DK will be there for at least a day too.
Sure.
So, it'll be fun to get those guys, see what they look like in Steelers gear for the first time. Rookie minicamp, in now less than 2 weeks. Then shoot, man, like 3 weeks or 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks will be OTAs already.
Schedule check in and or schedule release in a couple weeks as well.
Oh yeah. Oh, OTAs. And then by the way, the end of this week, actually in 2 days. I'm looking at my calendar over here. In 2 days, the Steelers have to make a decision in 2 days on Najee Harris and this fifth year option.
I'm glad you brought that up.
So that's something we need to be on the lookout for as well.
We definitely will be. We definitely will be. All right, good stuff today. We'll be back tomorrow as we turn the calendar to May once again. He's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Christen, and this has been the Southside Beat. Cheers, everybody. Have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.